Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that Thou would meet with us this day as we meet together in Thy house. We pray for Thy presence with us and Thy hand upon us, that Thou will do us good. Thou will set our mind and thoughts upon the things of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you all this morning to the house of God. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name today. Do you remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings? Please contribute as the Lord has laid upon your heart to do so. The gospel service tonight, and we're preaching again on the subject of heaven. What a wonderful place of escape. And that's tonight at 7 p.m., the time of prayer in the youth room at 6:20 to 6:45 prior to the evening service. We commend that to you. The communion service at the close of our evening service for all who know the Saviour. Bring your own bread and wine if the little cup that you have for the wine. If you haven't got one, please do avail yourself of one as you leave the service this morning. And then on Monday evening, the graduation and commencement service for our college for the training of our students is being held in Bethany Church, Portadown. It's by invitation only, but it's being streamed live from the church there in Portadown on Sermon Audio. You can link in to that service. On Tuesday evening in our church hall, the Bible study and prayer meeting. Do remember that. We encourage you to attend, to join with us for prayer, the most important meeting and of the week. And we would like to see others coming out on Tuesday evenings to the prayer meeting. Do remember that, please. And this week we're praying for our families, and do remember that on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. On Thursday, there'll be a church committee meeting at 7:30, followed by a meeting of Kirk session. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school continues. It will be an open Sunday school again, and Mr. Andrew McMullen, who will be speaking at our morning service, will be the speaker at the Sunday school. Missionary Sunday, next Lord's Day, Mr. Andrew McMullen, we said at the morning worship service, 11:30. He works among children in County Monaghan, and he will be along to speak to us of the work that he's engaged in there. Do remember that, please. Doors open from 11. And in the evening time, speaker is Miss Christina Logan at 7 p.m., children's evangelist under our mission board. And do remember that, please, as well. Mrs. Vivian McCoy will be the soloist. Season of prayer before the evening service again at the times we've mentioned. There'll be separate baskets at the exits morning and evening next Lord's Day for the missionary offerings. You remember those who are sick, unable to be with us because of treatments and ongoing issues. We think of Mary McFadden undergoing continuous treatment. Do you remember her? Remember also Aaron McBurney with her surgery coming up soon. Do pray for her for the healing touch. And others too going through treatments and consultations that the Lord will touch and heal and restore. If you can help with any aspects of the work, we're looking at how we can open these works again and get them open safely, parent and toddlers, children's meeting, WANA, youth work, etc., please do contact the leaders. We're always looking for volunteers. Appreciate those who have responded already. Our thanks from Mervyn and Valerie for all the folk in the church who sent cards and telephoned or sent messages of sympathy during the recent loss of Mervyn's sister. All of these are deeply appreciated, and of course your prayers. Continue to remember the family in your prayers. I'm reliably informed that around this time, 30 years ago, you began playing our organ, Robert. So 30 years at the organ, that's a long time. And we appreciate his ministry at the organ, and it's deeply appreciated by our congregation. And do trust you're long spared to continue as the minstrel in our congregation here in Ballygowan. And then organized by the Youth Council, there's a bi-monthly Bible study in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church this Saturday, and will be on a bi-monthly basis on the last Saturday of the month, dealing with various challenges facing young people today for ages 16 to 29. I think that's flexible. If you really want to go and you're interested, you'll be allowed to attend that young person this Saturday night in our Lisburn Church. Also, Consider Christ stand at the Balmoral Show this week, stand EK9. That's the number of the stand. If you're there, maybe you could pay a visit to the stand and encourage those who are on it. think those are all the announcements. Just remember our Hillsborough mission too this week, a drive-in mission there in the car park in Hillsborough. Do remember that this incoming week with Mr. Noel Shields and Mr. Colin Maxwell speaking. We're going to sing the opening psalm, psalm number 1, and it'll be on the screen. We keep our seats as we sing. And let us sing unto the Lord this morning. Stand for prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship thee and bow down before thee, King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank thee that thou art the great King and head of the church, that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. We worship and adore thee. We come to thy footstool this morning. And we seek thee for blessing and for the outpouring of thy Spirit and for a visitation of God upon us today, that thou wilt meet with us in a very special and in a very powerful manner. And we pray that the Spirit of God would descend upon us in a mighty way, that thou wouldst work even in these days for thy glory. Thou wouldst visit thy church with revival. We know, O God, that we many times in our own hearts are filled with coldness and carnality, filled with carelessness. Lord, we ask that thou wilt remove the carelessness, remove the coldness, and give us that spiritual warmth in our souls again, that we might descend into the hill of God, that we might stand in the holy place, that we might have clean hands and a pure heart, and we shall receive then the blessing from the Lord in righteousness, from the God of our salvation. Remember this people who have gathered or listening in today. We pray that thou wilt speak through thy word to every heart. And we pray that thou wilt work in lives even today for thy glory, bringing souls to Christ, turning men and women unto the Lord, even in these days. Father, we pray for those in particular need. Those, O God, who have burdens of sickness today. Those who are going through treatments like our sister Mary, waiting for surgery like our sister Irene, and for others, O God, in our midst, who perhaps do not want their name mentioned, but are facing treatment or consultations
or issues that prevent them even from being in the house of God at this time. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give that help and encouragement that they need. Lord, that Thou wilt touch them and heal them and restore them even to our midst in the weeks and months that lie ahead. Father, we ask of Thee today that Thou wilt bless, O God, and meet every need of every member and friend of our congregation. Move in our district, O God, steeped in sin and iniquity. Turn the hearts of the people of this community unto God, that there may be a move of God on this road and in this village and in this community that will, O God, be to the glory and honor of Thy name. Bless this congregation. Lead it forward in days to come. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt in Thy time send a man to take up the pulpit ministry here and to continue the work that we have sought under God to do in this place. Put Thy hand even now upon such a man and lead and guide this people in days to come. Father, we ask of Thee for others of our brethren too in the ministry are ill. Think of the Reverend Goods. We thank Thee for bringing him home from hospital. But we know he still needs Thy touch. Remember him, Reverend Fitzsimons, Reverend Wilson, these men, Lord, who need Thy touch. And others whom we know, even among our people in our churches who are ill. We pray that Thou wilt minister to them and that Thou wilt bless them and sustain them. Father, we thank Thee, O God, for this people. Thank You for the boys and girls in the Sunday school. And we pray that You'll bless the other aspects of the work, that soon we'll be able to recommence in a safe manner. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt bless our children in the school and in the university and perhaps other young people and people in the workplace in general, that Thou wilt keep them in these days. So bless us and meet with us. So pour out Thy Spirit upon us now and do us good. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story a couple of weeks ago of the 10 lepers. And of course, these 10 lepers, they came and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and they cried out to Him. And boys and girls, you remember we told you that the lepers had to separate. They were outside the city. They were away from other people. And of course, we told you how sin separates between you and your God. And sin is that which we all have in our hearts, boys and girls. And it keeps us away from God. But they cried out, these lepers, with this awful disease. They cried out to Jesus. Because Jesus, boys and girls, is the only one that can help you. Jesus is the only one that can help you in your time of need and take away the sin that you have in your heart. And they cried out, have mercy upon us. They wanted the mercy of God. And boys and girls, you need God's mercy in your life. You need God's help. Only God can help you. Only God can take away that sin that you have in your heart and make you a new person. This morning, they cried out to the Lord Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus told them to go to the priest. To go to the priest. That seemed a strange thing for Jesus to say that. But boys and girls, in those times, only the priest could declare that the leprosy had gone. Only the priest under the law could say that the leprosy had gone from such people. And so they had to go and be examined by the priests to see if the leprosy was gone. And boys and girls, as they went toward the priest, the Bible tells us they were cleansed. You see, they obeyed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, you need to obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey His word this morning. You will be cleansed from all your sin. You will be made a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come this morning? Will you come to the Lord Jesus as these lepers came? Will you obey His word as they did? And as you go in obedience, you too will be cleansed. Your sins, which are many, will be all taken away. May that happen even this morning for you boys and girls. And we're going to sing a chorus this morning. Rolled away, and this is the sin we all have. Rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. We'll sing it through twice, and you can do the actions this morning as we remain seated. We're going to read from the Word of God this morning. Reading from the Word of God this morning. In the book of Joshua, chapter 14, the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. We're reading from the verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for half the tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and half a tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I brought him word again, as was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We will sing the hymn 495 on the screen, Master, Speak, Thy Servant Heareth. Keeping our seats as we sing, then we will stand, if you're able to do so, for prayer. Stand, if you please, for prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the portion of Scripture we have read from this morning, the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. And the subject this morning is lessons from the life of Caleb. Lessons from the life of Caleb. Caleb is a wonderful example set before us in the pages of the Old Testament Scripture. He stands out for his faith, his following, his fervency, and his faithfulness. Caleb was a man who finished well. It's a great thing to finish well. Some people start well, but they don't finish well. Even in the Christian life and experience, some people are like the lemonade bottle. They're all shaken up and all fizz. But then they go flat. They don't finish well, but Caleb finished well. And Paul tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians there of his fear of finishing up his life as a wicked old man on one of God's rubbish heaps, of being a castaway. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, God forbid that when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. That is a very healthy fear indeed. Solomon started well, but he loved many strange women, and he was drawn away from the Lord. King Saul started well, but he disobeyed the Lord. He played the fool. He erred exceedingly. He was rejected as the king of Israel. Lot started well, but he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and his righteous soul was vexed with the sin of Sodom. Demas started well, but Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And my friends, this morning the Bible is strewn with the wreckage of people who started well, but ended up as castaways. And as we age, we may become weak in body, but the important thing is to be strong in spirit. Strong enough to say to God, as Caleb did here, give me this mountain. Let the novice and the weak be content with an easy path. But let us take on the mountain like Caleb before we die, before God has called us home from the scene of time. You remember when he was 75, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees to become the father of all believers, to become known in heaven as the friend of God. At the age of 80, Moses gave up the shepherding of Jethro's flocks to become the great leader of God's people, Israel, and the greatest lawgiver of all time. And Caleb here was 85. When he set out to do battle with the sons of Anak, to give the devil and his brood a thrashing, they would never forget. What a man Caleb was under God. How God enabled him and God equipped him and God empowered him and God endued him to be the man that God wanted him to be. To leave his mark for God in his day, and to bring great glory to the Lord's name. And so this morning I want to speak to you briefly on lessons from the life of Caleb. There are three things in particular that I want to highlight here in relation to the life of Caleb. First of all, the great decision he made. He decided to follow the Lord. That was the greatest decision of all, to become a disciple of the Lord. And what a momentous decision that was in his life. He came to the crossroads of life's experience and he decided to be on the Lord's side. He was willing to leave behind the path of disobedience and begin to follow the way of obedience to the Lord and to his word. Have you made this great decision? Have you decided to follow the Lord this morning? The Lord's exhortation to you, as it was to those fishermen of old, follow me. If you haven't begun to follow him, I trust you'll begin right now. Whatever the difficulties were, Caleb was willing to do it. He wasn't going to be put off, whatever the discouragements were, whatever the distresses, whatever the ups and downs, he was going to follow the Lord. You think of the decision Ruth made. She decided to identify herself with the people of God in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What a decision Ruth made. To identify with God's people. Have you made that decision? Oh, maybe for many years you've been thinking about it. Many years you've been procrastinating. You've been putting it off. But now's the time for it. Now's the time to make the decision. You remember those fishermen, Peter and Andrew, having heard that? They straightway, the Bible says, left their nets and followed him. And the two soon became four. When James and John also decided to follow Jesus, Matthew 4, verse 2, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. The greatest decision you can ever make is to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you make that decision now? I pray you will. Don't fail to make the decision that Caleb made. It was the right decision. And he never regretted it. And neither will you. He could easily have been discouraged by the attitudes and actions of others, but he was not influenced by them. He made a personal decision. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at the scripture here in verse 8. That's what he said. You know, it's so easy to follow the crowd. It's so easy to go with the popular opinion of the day, to swim with the tide. But not so with Caleb. He made a personal decision. Are you going to be swayed by company, by the crowd, by that which is popular among others? Are you going to make that wise personal decision Caleb made? Remember Joshua? In Joshua 24:15, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that what you're saying this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. His great decision. I want you to see, secondly, his great dedication. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 8. And then Moses said of him in verse 9, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And verse 14, Joshua said of him, you'll notice the word, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So his great dedication was not only something that came from his own mouth, but it was the testimony of great leaders in his day, as like Moses and like Joshua. There was the evidence that this man really meant to follow the Lord. Caleb had great resolve, come what may, to follow the Lord. There are some who say, I will follow the Lord, but they don't carry it out. They don't continue. They have no consistency. We must endure to the end. This man, Caleb, endured. We must endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We must, like Paul, fight a good fight and finish the course and keep the faith. Caleb had seen the experience of Moses and the children of Israel. Water turned into blood. Dust into lice, hail and fire from the sky. Egypt swarmed with frogs and flies and locusts. Darkness and death visited the land. And Caleb learned what it meant to be put under the shelter of the blood in Exodus chapter 12. He was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, as 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 and 2 say. Caleb gathered with God's redeemed people around the table in the wilderness. He went to Sinai and learned how to order his life. He drank from the river, the riven rock, and feasted on the bread of heaven. The Bible tells us of that in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 to 4. And then Caleb came to Kadesh Barnea, where as one of the 12 spies, he had a taste of the promised land, a taste of all that awaited him. in the land of promise, a taste of the fruits of Canaan. And you know, one taste of the fruits of Canaan spoiled his appetite for the onions and the leeks and the garlic of Egypt. After that foretaste, the vision of a new land, a new life in Canaan drew him onward and forward. In the majority report that was brought, the 10 carnal spies told terrifying tales of great fenced cities. In Canaan, the spies had seen the sons of Anak, the race of giants, had seen themselves as grasshoppers. But not Caleb. When others saw giants, Caleb saw God. When others saw cities walled up to heaven, Caleb saw cities reduced to rubble. When others saw a dangerous, dreadful, diabolical foe, Caleb saw only a defeated foe. When others saw foes, Caleb saw fruit. When others looked at the problems, Caleb looked at the promises. Had not Joseph said in Genesis 50:24, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And you know, when so many of his fellow believers grumbled and complained and fretted and found fault like so many of us, and fought among themselves, Caleb followed the Lord. He was 85 years old. And Caleb could look back over his life and give testimony to Joshua, I have wholly followed the Lord. Early in life, Caleb had to learn the lesson of positively trusting God. The name Caleb originally had the meaning of dog. His father, Jephunneh, seemed to have a bitter sense of humor. It's a dog's life he would have down there in Egypt. Caleb's lesson had a long apprenticeship. He triumphed over the decision that was, or the derision that was attached to his name. He was going to make that insulting name a badge of honor. If I'm going to be called dog, then I'm going to be the best dog around. And you know, the thing about most dogs is they will follow their master. Follow on their master's heels. The dog will go where the master goes and does what it's told to do. If it's trained in that way anyway, it will. It follows in the master's steps all the time. And Caleb followed his Lord and Master. Later, looking back over some 60 years, he could say that the controlling principle of his life had been absolute loyalty to his living Lord. Caleb followed the Lord fully. He followed the Lord faithfully. He followed the Lord fearlessly. Even when people took up stones to throw at him for a stand, no foe could daunt him. No fear could hunt him. Nobody could turn him aside. He was going where God was going. He would be hard on his heels, wherever that might be. And as it turned out, following the Lord involved 40 years of wandering here and there and everywhere, up and down in a wasteland. But no matter, God was going there, and that's where Caleb was going. Are you following the Lord today, like Caleb? In that school where you have no friends, maybe. Or in the workplace, or maybe in your family situation. You're finding it difficult. It's hard. It's not easy to be a Christian. You feel as if you're wandering in the wilderness of this world. But Caleb was living by faith in Canaan. We walk by faith, not by sight. Trusting in the Lord. looking to the Lord no matter what. Oh, may that be true of all of us this morning. I want you to see, thirdly, his great determination. Caleb was determined that his life would end well. You know, when we think of Caleb, and when I think of Caleb, we would think of the mighty Amazon River. Boisterous in its youth, this river is settled, invincible, and steady, flowing into its old age. The Amazon starts 3 miles high in the snow-swept Andes of Peru. At the source, the river is only 70 miles from the Pacific Ocean. But it travels nearly 4,000 miles across the width of the continent towards the Atlantic. In the beginning, a tiny trickle tumbles down the mountain and begins its long, meandering, eventful journey to the sea. The stream takes its time. As it wends its way, it draws the water of 200 other streams and brooks into its embrace until it's a fully fledged river. And then it churns through mountain passes, burst with explosive force into the green wall of the jungle below. It becomes an inland sea, draining nearly half of South America, an area equal to 2/3 of the United States of America. At the mouth, the banks stand 90 miles apart. When the Amazon reaches the end of its adventurous journey, it refuses to die. The power and drive of the river are so great that it floods the ocean with fresh water up to 100 miles offshore. Indeed, the current can be seen 200 miles out to sea. Caleb was like the Amazon. At the age of 85, he refused to consider for a moment that he'd reached hoary-headed age or well-stricken in years. Caleb was ready to tackle the mountain. Amazing, isn't it? You think at 85 I'll be able to tackle a mountain? I'm not so sure. But my friend, this man was. I was reading about George Mueller. What a man he was. By the time George Mueller reached 70, he'd already accomplished more than half a dozen ordinary men would accomplish in their combined lifetimes. His work with orphans started out with a handful of supplies that amounted to a tiny trickle. Some small change, 3 dishes, 28 plates, 3 basins, 1 jug. 4 mugs, 3 salt stands, 1 grater, 4 knives, and 5 forks. Must have been somebody there with a fork. But the work had grown and grown. Eventually, there were more than 5 large buildings, considerable staff, 2,050 boys and girls in his orphanages. Through the years, some 10,000 boys and girls had been housed and fed and clothed and educated and settled in employment. And you know, people today have the audacity to say that Christianity had no impact down through the centuries of time, my friend. Christianity and missionaries and men like George Mueller had a massive impact. It's just rubbish they're talking. They don't know what they're saying. They have no idea. This man was mighty. Mueller had given away large sums of money to help Sunday schools and day schools as well, at home and abroad. He had circulated nearly 2 million Bibles and Testaments. He distributed nearly 2 million books and tracts. It would be a hopeless task to try to calculate the cost of all this. A massive amount, and yet
Mueller, a poor man, obtained every penny by asking God for it.
Never made an appeal. He just prayed.
And he asked God, and God supplied his need.
At the age of 70,
Mueller decided the time had come for a change. He looked for a global parish. During the first 8 years after his conversion, he had offered himself as a candidate for the mission field 5 times. And he'd always been turned down. Now Mueller set out on his own. He travelled some 200,000 miles long before the age of aeroplanes. Visited 42 countries. Preached at least 6,000 times. For over 17 years, he was a living demonstration to hundreds and thousands of people that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. At 91, Mueller said this, and I quote, "I am very near the end of my earthly pilgrimage. Still I am able to work every day and all day too. I preach 5 or 6 times a week besides. I am unspeakably happy." That was George Mueller.
My friend, he was a veritable Amazon of a man.
And so was Caleb. So was Caleb.
At 85, he could say, and listen to the words here, verses 11 and 12, "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." His determination. Have you got that determination, Christian, to go on with God, to go through with God, no matter what the cost?
Caleb knew that the fight ahead would be arduous, for that mountain would have to be stormed. It would be an uphill fight all the way. He knew it would be tedious, for the great fenced cities were walled up to heaven. They would have to be taken by a long and stubborn siege. Furthermore, he knew the fight would be dangerous, for the sons of Anak lived there. But Caleb was not deterred. He was determined. He had his eye on the land, you see. The promised land, Canaan. He'd been thinking of that new land ever since he was a slave in Egypt in the house of bondage. And what he wanted was an abundant entrance into that land. The hymn writer put it like this, dear friends, this morning. "I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground." Oh, that's where we need to be. On higher ground, men and women. Lifted above the world. That was Caleb's battle cry. Verse 12, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And that was Caleb's victorious philosophy of life. He was counting on the Lord's presence. He was counting on the Lord's promise. He looked into the face of his master, and essentially he was saying, "If you're going up that mountain, I'm going up too." He was faithful and reliable and steady as you go. That was Caleb all the way through. Reading the story of Dr. Alan Redpath, the great man of God, former pastor of Moody Church, United States of America. He was crossing the Atlantic. And the Queen Elizabeth at the time, the Queen Elizabeth was the world's largest liner. A smudge of smoke on the far horizon eventually resolved itself into the SS United States, the world's fastest liner. As the fast ship drew alongside and passed the ship that Dr. Redpath was on, the Queen Elizabeth, the skipper of the United States flashed a message to the skipper of the Queen Elizabeth. And it was this: "You're very beautiful, but you're very slow." Back came the answer from the captain of the Queen Elizabeth: "It's not meet for the royal lady to keep fast company." Dr. Redpath got to know the Queen Elizabeth's chief engineer during that journey. He took him down to see the engines of that vast vessel. The 4 giant boilers, the 2 enormous
propeller shafts going out to the blades. The shafts were some 450 feet long, 150 yards of solid steel. Dr. Redpath and the engineer could hear the thrash of the four giant propellers driving all 82,000 tons of that mighty floating hotel across the Atlantic. Dr. Redpath said to the engineer, "I suppose those propellers must be going round at an enormous rate." The engineer looked at him and he said, "You're not an engineer, Dr. Redpath. I could get those propellers going so fast they would simply dig a hole in the water. The ship would slow down and stop with the propellers going at full speed." He paused. "I have 48 engineers on this ship, and they are continually calculating the ratio between revolutions per minute in the engine room and the steadiness at the point of drive." Steadiness at the point of drive. You see, that was the secret of that great ship. Steadiness at the point of drive. And that was the secret of Caleb's life. "He wholly followed the Lord." It's repeated six times in Scripture, three times here in this passage we've read from this morning. Joshua 14. Verse 14, verses 8 and 9 too. And then Numbers 14, you'll find it, verse 24, Numbers 32, 12, Deuteronomy 1, 36. Steady as you go. Steady as the point of drive. That's the secret of a productive Christian life. May we today learn lessons from the life of Caleb. And be prepared in our lives as long as we live, wherever we are. Steady as you drive. Steady as you go. Steady at the point of drive. Wholly following the Lord. May the Lord help us to be such a people today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We pray that Thou wilt write it upon our hearts. And O God, this day we pray that Thou wouldst make us to be Caleb's. Those who wholly follow the Lord and true to the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our closing hymn, 489. You'll find it on the screen. "O Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou wilt be my guide." May the Lord bless the words of this hymn to our hearts as we sing them this morning. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all today, tonight, and tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and then with all who are saved forevermore. Amen.